Bonjour à tous. Hello everyone and welcome to the press conference for Melancholia, which is shown tonight in competition. And I will immediately introduce the people who are here at this table. First things first, the two ladies who are at the very heart of the film, as Claire, Charlotte Gainsbourg, as Justine, the bride, Miss Kirsten Dunst. Sitting next to Charlotte Gainsbourg, the father of the bride, Mr. John Hurt. Sitting next to Miss Dunst, the father of the groom, Mr. Stellan Skarsgård. Next to him, little father, Jesper Christensen. Next to him, the lucky guy that wedding night, as Tim Brady Corbett. Sitting next to me, the very, very miserable event planner, Mr. Udo Kier. And we'll have a first question here, then a second question there.
Hello, welcome to Cannes. I'm Francisco Cáceres from Ticket in Central America. First, I would like to ask Mr. von Trier, what made you do a film about the end of the world? If you could comment on your inspiration of doing this. I know that it came from a conversation with Penelope Cruz. If you would comment on that, please. And then to Ms. Dunst. How was it like to work with such a unique director as Mr. von Trier? If you could comment on the things he told you to prepare for this role and how was shooting with him. Thank you.
Yeah, well, to me, it's not so much a film about the end of the world. It's a film about a state of mind. I've been through some melancholic stages of my life, so it was kind of obvious to do this. I'm sorry, I don't have so much to say. I'm happy to be here, and we should all be happy that Melancholia is not coming until when? Next month?
23rd.
The 23rd, yes. Melancholia is coming. And that would be wonderful PR for the film.
Ms. Dunst?
And I was drawn to the project because, to me, Lars is the only director that specifically just writes films for women who can be ugly and messy and emotional and not, you know, have this perfect idea of what women should be in film. And I was thrilled at the opportunity to work with Lars. He doesn't make, you know, that many movies. So it was an opportunity I went in with such an open vulnerability and a trust because of the way Lars presents himself to you, and I feel like now I have a good friend as well.
If I may extend the question to the other actors, Charlotte Gainsbourg, you've worked with Mr. Lars von Trier, certainly on The Antichrist, and you got the Best Actress Award here in Cannes. Mr. Skarsgård, you and Mr. Trier go way back, certainly since Breaking the Wave. All the way back to Working the Wave. Has your working rapport with him changed because you've already made films with him? Has he changed in his way of approaching his filmmaking?
Well, I didn't know him very well on Antichrist. I have the impression I know him a little bit better, not much.
Well, I know you a lot better from all different angles.
Yes, but yes. I didn't have that chance. So the work was different, very different, but pushing in the same way.
Mr. Skarsgård?
Well, he doesn't shoot on film anymore, which is a blessing, because it goes much faster now. That's very nice. But otherwise, the sort of Breaking the Waves was Lars' first feature film where he wasn't trying to be in control of everything. And I'm happy I was not in the previous films. So he lets you loose in a way and takes away the responsibility from you, and it makes you feel very free and very creative. And that hasn't changed, that has just developed.
Question here, then question there.
Yes, Bruce Kirkland of the Toronto Sun, and a question, actually it picks up on some of the things that were already said. So it's a question for Charlotte Gainsbourg and Kirsten Dunst, and it's in relation to Mr. von Trier's attitude towards women and his exploration of their state of being. So if this film is not about the end of the world, it certainly is about the psychology of fear and depression in certain women, and I'm curious for you to expand upon that and what you see we could gain from those insights in this particular film, and because obviously we feel depressed on your behalf watching you go through the kind of torturous relationships that you have in this film.
Well, for me, the depression and kind of the unraveling of my character Justine in the beginning of her wedding, you know, throws her into a depression. But I also think what's interesting about her is that as the world is coming to an end and, you know, the most horrible tragedy that could ever happen, she gets stronger and stronger and is kind of the one that brings them together. So I feel like sometimes in depression, when you're faced with huge things, the people that have been through that usually come out the strongest in a way. So, but other than that, in terms of Lars working with women and showing these sides, I like commend him. It's the only person I, you know, there aren't very female roles out there like this, you know, where you can be crazy and vulnerable and strange and do whatever you want. That's a freedom that's very scary, but also gives you kind of a braveness that I took with me after onto other projects after this. So,
but I don't really have the impression that we're portraying women in particular. I have the impression that with Antichrist, I was playing him, and Kirsten was playing him in this film. So it's not. Of course, it's beautiful parts for women, but I don't see the separation between men and women characters.
Question over there, then over here, then here, then there.
Peter Paul Hoot, German television. I have a question to Lars von Trier and Kirsten Dunst. In the beginning, we're confronted with this very lavish wedding. And we start to wonder what is happening to the character of Justine. And I was asking myself, why does she react in this way? Why does he kind of break out of this ceremony? What was your personal idea about that? Why is it happening right in this moment? I mean, from your point of view as the director and yours as an actor. Thank you.
Well, I would say that this whole marriage thing is something that she has kind of made herself do, that she has probably had, you know, the melancholia before and has been, you know, suffering from bad mood and stuff many times before. And now she hopes that getting into kind of this restrained situation of a marriage and traditional, and that will help her. So it's a plan she has, and she's struggling for it. It's kind of she hopes that will kind of stabilize her in her life, but which obviously doesn't happen.
Sir?
I know, that was very well said. I mean, that was pretty much what I would have said, in a way.
Really?
I mean, yeah, people expect weddings to change their lives or to solidify them in some way, or this will be good for me because then I will have, like, the stability. But also, what happens to her around her wedding is terrible. Her parents are fighting. I mean, there's not a lot of love and support around what she's going through besides her sister, and it's kind of like, buck up, you know what I mean? So I think that it's just more and more just clouds her as the reception goes on and the night goes on.
Brady, if you want to be heard, jump in anytime.
Okay. I haven't seen the film. I'm not even sure I'm in it.
You are.
Question here, then these two, then over there.
Bonjour, Hugues Daillé, Télévision Belge. C'est une question pour Charlotte Gainsbourg. Dans les films de Lars von Trier, il y a au moins toujours deux degrés de lecture. Il y a l'intrigue et puis ce qu'il y a derrière l'intrigue, les thématiques que véhicule l'intrigue. Est-ce que, pour une actrice, vous devez simplement jouer les situations au premier degré ou bien vous discutez longuement avec Lars des intentions qui sont derrière les scènes, oui. Surtout dans la mesure où il y a ces deux parties qui sont très distinctes dans ce film-ci. Et est-ce que vous avez tourné les deux parties de manière distincte ou bien comme dans tout tournage, le plan de route faisait qu'on tournait un peu une scène de mariage et puis une scène de jardin, ou bien il y avait une tentative de chronologie pour garder les deux parties? Merci.
Oui, on discute très très longuement avec Lars. C'est pas vrai. Il répond à aucune de mes questions. Donc j'ai eu aucune réponse par rapport aux questions que je me posais sur le scénario. Mais j'aime bien ça. J'aime bien le fait de rester un peu dans l'obscurité. Et sinon, on a tourné d'abord les scènes de mariage avec toute la figuration. Et puis après, c'est devenu de plus en plus intime. Vers la deuxième moitié du film, en fait.
Okay. Madame?
Hello, I'm Marissa Anita from Metro TV Indonesia. I have questions for Mr. von Trier and, of course, Ms. Dunce. I have two questions for you, Mr. von Trier. I read that previously you did not realize that when you saw the poster, you were very happy about your film, and my question is, are you now happy with your film and how it turns out? And the second one is...
One step at a time. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, second step.
Second step. And then the second one, do you think Melancholia is a strong contender for the Palme d'Or?
Oh, yes, I do.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The other part, what was the other part again?
Are you pleased with the film?
Oh, if I'm pleased with the film. It was a very big pleasure to do the film. And it was, you know, all this Wagner stuff that we kind of put in that... kind of we got carried away a little bit so that everything became over romantic, and which was nice to do, very nice to do, but then when I saw it in bits and I saw the stills from it, I kind of rejected it a little bit, so I'm not really sure. No, maybe it's crap. Of course, I hope not, but there is quite a big possibility that this might be, you know, crap. Really not worth seeing.
Ma'am.
And also a question for Ms. Dunce. What was the work process? Because this is, in a way, a depressing and sad film. What state of mind were you in? What sort of situation did you put yourself in to be able to play Justine so well?
I think the intimacy Lars creates on set and automatically kind of makes you emotionally available. And then we do as much as we have to do, as many takes or different ways and changing things. until he's happy, I hope. Yeah. And, but the process is very freeing. It just kind of anything goes, and then you rein it in or you change it again. We do long scenes that lasted 5 minutes, 5 minute takes. I mean, when do you get to do that? Play out an entire wedding. And so there's a freedom and a breaking down of walls and of this is your close up, this is your wide shot. You know, all those things are thrown away, and so you're left with a very natural way of just being.
Yeah, I would say that Kirsten has thank God some knowledge of depression, if I can say that. Can I say that? Otherwise, forget it. But she had a. We talked about a lot about how these things should look, and I think she's doing extremely well. It's it was especially the look in the eyes. I thought was perfect.
A quick question.
I'm very happy that you are mentally disturbed. Yes, that helped me. Yes.
A quick question for Mr. Hurd. Did you ask Mr. von Trier what was the obsession with the first name Betty?
I didn't. And I'll tell you why I didn't. Because I wouldn't have got an answer. We don't rehearse. You have to switch into your imagination as quickly as possible.
And what was your decision, your determination?
It's on film.
Thank you. Question here, then over there.
Hello, Jan Lumholt, Sweden. I have two questions.
No, you have one.
I have one. Well, anyway, first to complete the stories told about Charlotte Gainsbourg and Stellan Skarsgård about working with Lars, I think Mr. Udo Kier here has covered something like 10 or 11 appearances in Lars von Trier's films, so I would love to hear a little bit about the changes through the years from you. And very briefly, Mr. von Trier, just give us the latest details on unfinished trilogies and such. Will there be a Washington or whatever is going to happen there? Should we forget it? Thank you. So, Udo, please start.
Hello. We started working together for actually television, which was Medea, and also later on The Kingdom, which was my favorite role, playing a baby. And especially my great joy was to be born, coming out and scream, seeing all these horrible things. And it changed. No, it doesn't change. I'm part of the family. And the roles, sometimes they're very small, but I still like it because it's just I'm part of the whole films. And I enjoy it, and I hope I'm making many more films with Lars.
Yes, because now I've found another way to cast Udo. I typecast him as a homosexual.
And that helped gay in this
that
film.
That helped very much. Your performance is fantastic, Udo. I don't know where you get it from.
Thank you very much.
Question over here, then the gentleman from Greece, then Roger.
Liam Lacey from the Globe and Mail in Toronto. This is a question for Lars von Trier. I wanted to ask about the painterly or photographic influences that you brought to the look. You referred to the very romantic look. Could you tell me a bit about some of your sources for that?
Yeah, sources is of course classical paintings of different kind, German paintings, pre-Raphael paintings, of course. I kind of traveled around on my little hard disk in my head to see what would suit this film, and of course it is. It's a rip-off of a lot of good directors like Antonioni, for instance, and Tarkovsky, of course. And Bergman a little bit, I would say, with the Smiles of a Summer Night or whatever it's called. So, yeah, I just we had fun doing this film. So, but I would like to talk about my next film, which is Kirsten insisted going to be a porn film, and we made this very famous beaver shot in the film where Kirsten demanded to be naked, and I said, but it doesn't really fit the film, and she says, no, this is, I feel strongly for this, and I said, okay, let's put it in, and now she wants more. You know, that's how women are, and Charlotte is behind this. They want a really, really, really hardcore film this time, and I'm doing my best. I will. I said, but then let's make a lot of talking in between. They should have a lot of dialogue, and they say we don't give a shit about the dialogue. we just want to, you know. Yeah, have a lot of very, very, very unpleasant sex, and that's what I'm writing right now. So, and it's going to be 3 or 4 hours long. And the only reason for that is that this press conference will be a little later. So I can sleep a little longer. Yeah.
Question over there, then the gentleman.
Hello, Mr. Trier. This is Yanis from Greece. The question is for Mr. Trier. During the film, we hear more than once, I think, that this is a pointless life and a pointless world. Of course, this is just an opinion. Mm-hmm. But since you are the writer of the film, mm-hmm. I would like to know if this is an extension of your own personal opinion.
Oh, yes.
Would you care to elaborate on this, or shall we let this stand?
I couldn't elaborate on this. Okay. No.
Sorry. Hi, Roger Friedman from Parade Magazine. Yeah. First, I wanted to know, what happened to all the wedding gifts? And second of all...
The gifts.
The gifts, the wedding gifts.
Yeah, I think we forgot about... Were they any gifts? No.
You didn't get any?
No.
And the second question is, you do make a lot of disturbing, melancholy films, but you're very funny in person. Why aren't you making comedies?
Because when I make comedies, they become very melancholic also. So, this was, in fact, a comedy.
This was a comedy?
Yeah, this was a comedy, so you don't want to see...
You don't want to see the tragedy.
You don't want to see a tragedy.
Question over there.
Bonjour. Mais la seule solution contre la peur et la fin du monde, c'est la cabane magique de cet enfant. Donc je voulais vous demander, en tant que créateur, est-ce que pour vous la solution, la salvation, c'est l'art ou la musique, le cinéma, et il y a quand même un refuge, et vous ouvrez un peu la porte à la fin. La cabane magique.
Well, it's I'm now looking into the conflict between the Eastern and the Western Church, that is between the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church. And that is, of course, because of the porn film that I'm doing. One of the chapters are called The East and the West Church. Another chapters are called The Little Organ School. So, but this about the Eastern Church, I've understood so much that it's kind of more of a pleasure church, whereas the Western Church is kind of concentrating on the crucifixion and suffering and stuff. Where I want to get to is that light, it seems, the divine light or the Holy Ghost or whatever, is something that's very important in the Eastern Church. The way of being transformed by the light. And light is for me very much cinema, or could be. And when I see, I watch Tarkovsky again now and then, and I am almost crying because it is for me, you know, the Holy Ghost or whatever, or the light that Jesus goes to this mountain and suddenly Moses and Elias are there, you know, I don't know what it's called. And they see the light, and in that light is maybe not so much hope, but really life. And if a film can bring some of that, and some of my favorite films brings this light to me, because I am typically a man who would treasure the suffering and the crucifixion and the guilt and whatever, but this other side of life, the light side, is something that films could. You know, this, the fact that planet Earth is being destroyed is not so alarming, since we're all going to die at some point. So the light side of it, or the Holy Spirit side, is something that I'm. Yeah, that I'm going to exploit in the porn film with Kirsten. And she agrees on that also, that the Eastern Church is very important. The whole discussion about the Eastern Church is very important for her orgasms. In the film, of course, they're all fake. They're all fake.
Question here. Yeah. The lady
Charlotte is not fake. But that is two different, you know, kind of ways of acting. It's a French versus kind of the more.
Sir, the lady over there.
I shouldn't talk about Spider-Man now.
No. You're the one who casts every Spider-Man member in your film.
Yes, I have. I have this thing about Willem,
Bryce.
Yes, I know.
Toby next.
Yes, it will be in the porn film.
I'm sir. Sure.
Yes.
Rodrigo from Globo Brasil. A question for Mr. Von Trier. Could you tell us a few words about your process of work with the photographer Manuel Alberto Claro and the visual effects team of the film?
Yes, I had a very good relationship. I changed photographer for this film, and I'm, you know, when he was very eager to do what I wanted, and that is always very nice. And then, you know, when you know you're working against the same goal, then you have a very good cooperation. But the only thing that, or the more important thing, was that he said to me during the take that suddenly out of nowhere he said. But don't do the mistake that many middle-aged directors or older directors do, that the women gets younger and younger and more naked. And I said, don't say that to me. So now I tell you, they're going to be naked and extremely young. So in that way, he helped me, yes, quite a lot, even on the next film.
Question over there, then the lady here, then the lady there. Go ahead.
Yes, Serbian Weekly Nin, how did you confront yourself this state of melancholia that you know very well? Is it by making movies? And by making this movie, does it mean that you overpassed it, this state? Thank you.
I feel that I overpassed it, yes, somehow. Yes, I'm... Yes, I'm beginning. I stopped drinking and I'm beginning to read books and stuff like that. I'm being bored, boring like everybody. But I feel good. I feel good.
Are you happy?
Even though I'm
today?
Philosophically, I'm against not drinking. I think that you should intoxicate yourself. And I'm looking at you, Stella.
Yeah, you're looking at me.
I'm looking at you. I could have been looking at Kiefer if he was here, but he is not here. So next in line, you know, is you. And Udo, maybe you a little bit. So next time you will be typecast as not only homosexual, but also extremely drunk.
Yes.
So we don't have to change anything. You can just go drinking all night and then going on.
Be more homosexual.
Yeah, and you can. Yeah, I'm sure you can be more homosexual. I'm trying to keep you down, for Christ's sake. Yes. I was that an answer at all? I forgot the. No, it was not an answer.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes, please interrupt.
It's Charlotte Higgins from the Guardian newspaper here. Lars, I wanted to ask you, is this film any more melancholy than any of your other films? I was just thinking about this sort of statement of mood in the title of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, perhaps, we don't know you for your cheerful film. I mean, how would you rate it on a scale against your other work? And I wanted to ask you about the use of the prelude and, mm-hmm. You know, why that piece of music is sort of so fundamental to the film, why you, you know, decided to use that material.
Yeah. First of all, Melancholia is a good title and has been used very many times, and melancholia is something that is, you know, in all art that I like, and I'm sure is part of all good art. It was the starting point of the film, and the inspiration came from there. I don't know if it's more or less, yeah, melancholia, or to be melancholic, I think has to do with the longing, and the longing is maybe something that's a little special for this film. And in the other films, there's been more like practical problems, but this is the for me, there's an element of longing in Melancholia. What was the other part of it?
Preludes.
Oh, the prelude. You know, there are different kinds of films, and mostly we would say a film. You see a film to see how it ends, and I will object to that. I would say that many films are. You know the end, or you know, if you look at a James Bond film, there's a chance that he will survive. So that you actually know the film, but you still see it as exciting because you want to know how it ends, how does the characters react to it, all these things. And I thought it was quite interesting to be very clear about this, that what the end of the film would be. And I when I see films like that, you still somehow sit with a feeling that you know how it's going to end, but you don't want it to end that way, and you hope that you were wrong somehow, you know, in the information that you got early on. The music is very important for me. It's music that I've heard for very many years, and I was supposed to do some Wagner on stage. That didn't happen. But especially Tristan is a major work in the romantic German romantic tradition.
We'll take just two more questions. Short. Go ahead, and then you.
Kate Muir from the Times of London. My question follows on from the German romantic thing. Can you talk a bit about your German roots and the gothic aspect to this film. And also you mentioned...
Gothic.
And also you mentioned... You mentioned in a Danish film magazine also about your interest in the Nazi aesthetic, and you talked about that German roots at the same time. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, the only thing I can tell is that I thought I was a Jew for a long time and was very happy being a Jew. Then later on came Susanne Bier, and then suddenly I wasn't so happy about being a Jew. No, that was a joke. Sorry. But it turned out that I was not a Jew, and even if I'd been a Jew, I would be kind of a second-rate Jew, because there are kind of a hierarchy in the kind of the Jewish population. But anyway, I really wanted to be a Jew, and then I found out that I was really a Nazi, you know, because my family was German, Hartmann. Which also gave me some pleasure. So I'm kind of
Sir,
I what can I say? I understand Hitler, but I think he did some wrong things. Yes, absolutely. But I can see him sitting in his bunker in the end. But there will come a point at the end of this. There will come. I will. No, I'm just saying that I think I understand the man. He's not what you would call a good guy, but I. I understand much about him, and I sympathize with him a little bit. Yes, I'm not for the Second World War, and I'm not against Jews. Susanne Bier is no, not even Susanne Bier. That was also a joke. I am, of course, very much for Jews. No, not too much, because Israel is a pain in the ass. But still. How can I get out of this sentence?
By another question. Here's your salvation.
I just want to say about the art of the. I'm very much for Speer. Speer I liked. Albert Speer I liked. He was also maybe one of God's best children, but he had some talent that was kind of. Possible for him to use during. Okay, I'm a Nazi.
Completely different note. Peter Howell, Toronto newspaper. A question for Mr. von Trier. Mr. von Trier, Melancholia, would you consider this your answer to the Hollywood blockbuster? And if not, could you envision doing a film on a grander scale than this?
On a grander scale? Yeah. Yeah, that's what we Nazis we we have a tendency to try to do things on a greater scale. Yeah, maybe you could persuade me into the final solution with journalists. No, I'm
well on that very very strange note, I'm afraid our time is up. Thank you very much, you all, for being here.
Yeah, thank you.